Father, as we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you to reveal the glory and the splendor and the beauty of your Son to our heart. Lord, we ask you that by the Holy Spirit, you would take the things that are Jesus's and you would give them to us by revelation. And we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, tonight we're beginning session 7 in studies in the Song of Solomon. We're covering this book verse by verse, covering 24 different classes. And we're on class 7 or session 7 tonight. We're going to talk about the fragrance of Jesus in Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse 3. Now we've taken a little bit of time to lay a foundation, and now we're going to begin to get through the book, verse by verse, this most glorious 8-chapter love song. But just a moment of review for those that are with us for the first time in this class. In Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse 2, which we looked at the last two sessions, the bride cried out. She was speaking to the Father. This is a very relevant and important prayer for us. She said, Father, let your Son kiss me with the kisses of His Word. And then she gives a statement of explanation, and she speaks this directly to Jesus. She says, for Jesus, your love is better than the wine of this world. Because the reason I want the kisses of your Word is because when the Word of God touches me, related to your affection and related to your beauty, it's better than anything that I can experience in life. So she's asking for the Word of God to touch the deepest places of her spirit. She's asking for encounters with the Word of God that are particularly focused upon revealing the heart of Jesus, the loveliness of Jesus, the affection of Jesus, so that it will awaken what I call the threefold love of God in our heart. It's love from God, the reality of knowing He loves us. When we know that He loves us, that's part one. It always awakens love in our heart back to Him. And then there's an overflow of love, thirdly, to other people. So when she experiences the kisses of God's Word, it's what I call the superior pleasures of the gospel, or the superior pleasures of the Word of God. She finds that His love is better than, or as the NIV says, His love is more delightful than the good and the bad wine of this fallen world. Even the privileges, even the blessings of God that we rightfully celebrate, they are good and we receive them, but there's actually something better than the blessing of God in our circumstances. It's when the Word of God touches the human heart and unveils the heart of God to our heart. There's nothing more exhilarating to the human spirit than when God reveals God to the human spirit. And I say that a lot, and some around here could kind of get used to that phrase. It's kind of a neat phrase. But I'm not saying it as a cliche. I'm saying it as a man that's on a journey, a difficult journey in a fallen world, as you are. And when I draw back and think about life and the weariness and temptations and this way versus that way, I profoundly believe that the most exhilarating thing that I can experience is when God reveals God to my spirit. It's a theological point, but it's a very practical, real point. And when that touches our spirit, then when we have the ache of our emptiness or the ache of loneliness or despair or discouragement, we go to the Word of God instead of to the wine of this world. I mean, we really do go there. I was talking to one of our leaders just the other day, and I was saying, I'm not trying to give you a pat answer or a trite answer, but what you need is to feel the power of the Word touching your spirit. And this leader came back to me just today and said, you know what, it's true. I gave myself in a focused way to this issue of the affections of God's heart. And it did, it touched me. And it's not that it will every time we come before the Lord. I've had plenty of dull times in prayer and in the Word. But I know that the well to draw from is the kisses of His Word, because there is nothing more exhilarating than the love of God touching the human spirit. And that is a very practical point as we work through the difficulty and the journey of loneliness and emptiness and frustrations and pain and disappointments and setbacks. That is a very profound theological point to believe at the heart level. God's love is better than. You could put anything, good or bad. He's better than the good things, and the experience of it in our spirit is obviously better than the bad things. In the last session, I talked about various types of obedience. Three different types, and all three of them are biblical. All three of them are actually necessary. I talked about the most powerful kind of obedience. I call it affection-based obedience. It's obedience to Jesus that flows from experiencing His affection for us by just understanding it. And when we understand His affection for us, it really does something in our spirit. I mean, it's not like everything changes in one moment, but over time, it really touches us in terms of our motivation for obedience. And then to feel affection, to feel tender affection back for Him. Beloved, this is the strongest kind of obedience that exists in the grace of God. Because a lovesick person will endure anything for love. The second kind of obedience that we looked at in the last session, we're still in review, is what I call duty-based obedience. So when we obey just by faith, I mean, we don't feel any inspiration. We don't feel His presence. But beloved, let me tell you, it's wise to obey when you feel nothing. There, we are under a divine duty to obey God. He is the King. And I know what it means to obey out of the duty that I'm a creature and He is the King. And He owns me and He is the leader of the universe. And I feel nothing. It is wise to obey. Even with a right sense of duty. Without feeling any sense of inspiration. I've done it many times, and there's times I didn't do it. And then's what I call fear-based obedience. Or shame-based obedience. This is obedience that flows from the fear of being put to shame, or the fear of negative circumstances. Now, Jesus taught about negative circumstances. He taught about hell. That's really negative. And He taught about it so that people would say, I'm afraid of that. I'm going to obey You. Now, fear-based obedience is not enough to motivate us consistently through the years to obey God. Even duty-based obedience. At the end of the day, it breaks down in terms of the rigors of the years. But affection-based obedience, when it becomes real that your love is better than feeling it from you, and feeling love to you is the best way to live life in a fallen world. Let's go to Roman numeral 2. And if you don't have these notes, you can get them on the website. They're available right now. Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 3. We're going to look at the remainder of this session on this one verse. She makes this most dramatic or a very important, all-important statement. And she's talking to Jesus. And there's a time in our life where we say this to Him. I don't mean once, many times. Because the revelation of it touches our spirit. It changes our life when we can say this. She says, because of the fragrance of Your good perfumes. Because of the fragrance of Your good perfumes. Now the New King James says Your good ointments. But the NIV and other translations uses the word perfumes. Because an ointment was a perfume. It's the same word. When it touches our spirit, that there is a diverse, plural, infinite amount of good perfumes that are in the personality of Jesus. We're going to look at that phrase for a moment, but I'll read the whole verse. Because of the fragrance of Your good perfumes, Your love is perfume poured forth. Therefore, the virgins, they love You. Now, to get the idea of how the how Solomon is using the word perfume here in this love song. When you think of the fragrance of a rose, it comes from the internal properties or the internal qualities of that rose or that flower. In the same way, the king's perfume, and of course we're taking the symbolic interpretation of the Song of Solomon, the king's perfume speaks of his internal life. Because the internal life, the personality of Jesus, is like good perfumes. Beloved, the implications of that statement are very practical in our everyday life. The perfumes of Jesus refers to the way that he thinks and the way that he feels. It's his interior life. It's his emotional makeup. It's his thought life. And the perfume of Jesus, the good perfume of Jesus that moves us most and that moves us at the deepest level, is his affection for his people. It's not only his affection. That's not the only perfume. That's not the only internal quality in his life. But that's the one that moves us most. Later on in the class, we'll look at Song of Solomon chapter 5, verse 10 to 16, where she gives 10 different descriptions of Jesus' thought life, his emotional life, and his leadership abilities. She gives 10 different statements. It's one of the most dynamic statements in the Bible, magnifying the beauty of Jesus. But over and over in that passage, she talks about the internal life of Jesus. Do you think much about his internal life, his thought life, and his emotional makeup? Or do you only think about what he does for you outwardly? And of course, what he does, obviously, is a result of how he thinks and feels. But sometimes we can get confused by what he does and conclude that the way he thinks and the way he feels is very different than the truth. So we're meant to study what he does in our life, to observe it. And it's to lead us back to understanding how he thinks and how he feels, but it doesn't always lead us back in a direct path because God's ways are mysterious many times. And the devil comes in and lies to us. And he takes the very things that are taking place in our life to try to convince us that God's thinking and feeling is contrary to what the Word of God says about him. But I've taken time over the years, and I'm sure some of you have, and I really encourage you is what I'm doing. I'm encouraging you as a satisfied customer, although I want much more. I want to encourage you to take the subject of his good perfumes, the subject of Jesus' thought life and Jesus' emotional makeup as revealed in the Scripture, and to make it a area of focus. I don't mean just a kind of in passing, you say, yeah, I really buy into that. His thought life is really awesome. No, I'm talking about making it a subject of which you focus your attention on, not for a week, not for a month, but for years. This is what King David did. When he said the statement we use so often here at the International House of Prayer, when King David said, "This one thing I do, I gaze on your beauty all the days of my life." David was a student of God's emotions. We are, the wisest among us are those that are students of God's emotions. And she declares, because of the fragrance of your good perfumes, because of the fragrance of your internal qualities, because of the fragrance, the loveliness of the way you think and the way you feel. Beloved, the loveliness of the way Jesus thinks, the loveliness of the way he feels, it moves us when it touches us in the way that fragrance moves the heart. Of course, the most rare and beautiful types of fragrances. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul the Apostle spoke of the fragrance of Jesus. Now he was speaking of it in a figurative way. It was figurative of the knowledge of God. And he's talked about God who leads us in triumph in 2 Corinthians 2:14. And God, through us, diffuses or manifests the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus everywhere we go. And so the New Testament makes clear that the subject of his fragrance is the subject of the knowledge of his personality and who he is and what he's like. Now, Paul is talking about the fragrance of Jesus in a figurative sense, meaning in the way the Song of Solomon is. The fragrance of Jesus is the unveiling of the knowledge of God. It's what he's like on the inside. However, I wanted to, just because it's such a great subject, the fragrance of Jesus is also literal. It's not just figurative. Around his throne, there are so many dynamic and awesome fragrances that fill all heaven forever. So though we're talking about his internal qualities, it's much more than that. His fragrance is a bigger subject than that. Now, it's reasonable that in the Song of Solomon, which is a metaphor of bridal love, it's a love between a bride and a bridegroom, it's reasonable that Solomon would choose the symbol of fragrance to talk about love, because fragrance and love in context to marriage is connected. If a scientist was writing his joy and exhilaration in God, he might not say because your fragrance, he might say because of your brilliance, Jesus, my heart is stirred deeply towards you. But this isn't a picture of God's brilliance per se, though the Word of God, obviously from Genesis to Revelation, emphasizes the brilliance of God. The Song of Solomon is focusing on a really direct way upon the emotions of God. Now, paragraph D, she's going to make a very important theological point. She says, because of the fragrance, because of Jesus' good fragrances, two very significant things are going to happen in human history. First, God is going to pour forth Jesus' name across the nations. And secondly, the virgins, or the body of Christ, is going to love Jesus because they come into understanding of his good fragrances, and because God's going to show them forth and display them across the earth. Paragraph E. She says, because of the fragrance, because of the attractiveness, because of the loveliness, because of the power of your good perfumes. So in the place of fragrance, you could put attractiveness, loveliness, or the power, the winsome power of your good perfumes, because they are powerful, because they are so real, God has chosen to pour forth your name across the nations. Now, there's only one name that God has chosen to pour forth across the nations. He's going to exalt one name. Of course, we're all familiar with that. It's the name of Jesus. But when God pours forth the name of Jesus or exalts it, what this means is, it's a prophetic statement, but there's a bit of theology in it as well, that God is going to pour it forth or openly reveal it and openly display it to the nations of the world. And that includes to individuals in the body of Christ. The thing that you and I need more than anything in the Spirit is for the name of Jesus to be poured forth in our personal life, for it to be displayed, and for the mystery and the reality of it to be to unfold to our heart. Now, God doesn't unfold the qualities of another person to our heart. The Holy Spirit is not committed to taking the qualities of Moses or Elijah or even David. That's not the one. But it's because of the unique supremacy of Jesus, because of his unique qualities. There's none like him. In Revelation 5, we looked at it at the last session, where they're looking throughout heaven. Is there anybody, is there any man who is worthy to take the scroll and to open it? And Jesus possesses the most unique qualities in a way that even a godly man or woman through history, a Moses or David, Elijah, doesn't come close to, even through the impartation of the Holy Spirit. But the quality of His deity and His humanity and His tenderness and His commitment to us, the Song of Solomon, the bride in the Song of Solomon, she declares this as the fragrance of His good perfumes. The power of the attractiveness of His inner life. And of course, that's the whole subject of redemption as believers. I mean of our ongoing salvation experience is to be captured by the loveliness and the beauty of this man who is fully God and fully man. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, it says this, that the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. The Father is going to cause the fragrance of Jesus' good perfumes. He's going to cause the unique qualities of His inner life, His thought life and His emotional makeup to be openly seen. It's not just that the nations are going to see it. It's that God is choosing to bring the human race to a deeper experience with God by unveiling the beauty of Jesus' heart. The earth is going to be filled with the knowledge, you could say this, of the perfume of Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is giving the function of the fivefold ministries. He talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and he gives us the reason God is anointing apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And I'm going to just look at one point. Paul makes several points here. He says in verse 13, God's going to anoint them, God's going to use them until the church is filled with the knowledge of Jesus. Now the church is already saved. We're not talking about the knowledge of justification by faith. One of the signs of an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, pastor, and teacher is that they are feeding the people of God on the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Son of God. Now we're talking about believers needing to be filled up with the knowledge of God. And of course, this is what the Holy Spirit is committed to. This is what the end time ministry is about. I hear much today about ministries, apostles and prophets, and often they do this or that or the other, and some of it's good and some of it's not so good of the things that you hear. But I want to assure you, one of the primary functions of an apostle and a prophet, an evangelist, pastor, teacher, is to, under the anointing, to reveal the knowledge of Jesus to the body of Christ. And that's why we want to really go after the Song of Solomon in a really direct and powerful way. Roman numeral 3. This is a theological point, and don't be thrown off by the word theological. It just means it's a very important biblical principle that has to do with our transformation. That's what I'm talking about. The church, paragraph A, will love Jesus as the Father pours forth the beauty of His name. So why do you care about that point? Because to grow in love for Jesus, the bride in the Song of Solomon understood the pouring forth of Jesus' name is what makes the virgins love Him. That's the point we're covering throughout this session, just saying it over and over. I've said this for some years now, but I'm still surprised and disappointed how many on-fire believers, how few focus on the subject of the fragrance of His good perfumes. And I don't mean you have to use that terminology. That's symbolic terminology. I don't care about that terminology per se. I'm surprised, in a negative sense, how few fervent believers spend quality time feeding their spirit on the revelation of Jesus' thought life and His emotional makeup. I assure you, that when the Father pours forth the name of Jesus, you will love Him, and the people you're ministering to, whether it's one-on-one, one-on-five, one-on-ten, whether it's your children, your neighbors, in the marketplace, the people will love Him when the knowledge of His heart is made known in a specific way. I don't mean just the knowledge of His willingness to forgive. He went to the cross and forgave. That is revealing the knowledge of His heart. And when we esteem that, that's very important. But I'm talking about specifically feeding the people on small bites, breaking it down in a clear way as to what His heart is really like. And beloved, you won't be able to do that, even one-on-one, to your children, to your neighbors at the marketplace, if you don't feed on that in your own personal spirit. And you won't feed on it unless you believe that the Father's going to pour forth the fragrance of His good perfumes, because it makes the people love Him. The Father looks at the great problem of the human race, of darkness on the planet. And the Father has one premier strategy. He's going to fill the earth with the knowledge of Jesus to correct the problems in the planet. Now, if God's going to fill the earth with the knowledge of Jesus, we would understand rightfully, if that's the Father's strategy in the age to come, in the millennial kingdom and beyond, surely that's a priority to us now, the subject of the knowledge of God. Now, when He says that your name is ointment poured forth, therefore the virgins will love you, in the Song of Solomon, the virgins speak of the daughters of Jerusalem. And the virgins, the daughters of Jerusalem, are the sincere, yet they are the sincere, yet they are the immature believers who love the Lord. And they seek Jesus throughout the song, but they're immature in their life. But even the immature will be transformed by the revelation of the emotions of God. There's only one name that changes the human heart. The primary strategy that God has to change the human heart is the unveiling of the fragrance of His good perfumes, using the language of Song of Solomon, or unveiling the knowledge of His emotions and of His thoughts. It's not just His power. We would typically think it's His power, or many would. Beloved, we've been looking up at the stars and the sun every day our whole life. And many believers, even believers, aren't overly moved by His power. I've watched over 30 years of ministry, people get healed dramatically, and even the person that's healed 3 months later, they're living like they were. I mean, they were excited for 3 months. And I believe in the revelation of His power is important. But the thing that the Word of God makes clear, and I've experienced it in my own life to a measure, that's even more than a display of power at a meeting or even a display of power in creation, is when our heart understands what He feels. It does something to our spirit dramatically. The bride here is giving insight in how God changes the human heart. That's what's going on. She understands it, and she's giving teaching. She goes, because of the fragrance of His good perfumes, because of the kind of man He is, because of the quality of His thought life, the quality of His emotional life, therefore, God has chosen Him as the strategy to transform the earth, to pour His name forth, to display His inner life openly to the nations. And she says it's the unveiling of His inner life that's going to make even the immature virgins, because again, they don't have the maturity of the bride through the book of Song of Solomon. They're always pictured as inquiring, they're sincere, but they don't have the same maturity level. But when God shines forth and unveils the inner life, the quality of Jesus' thought life and His emotional makeup, even the young and the immature ones in the spirit, that has no relationship to age in the physical, because you can be young in the spirit and old in age, or the other way around. She understands how God changes the human heart. That's the point. That's why I love this verse so much. She understands it. There's only one perfumed name that transforms human history and that transforms individual hearts. There's only one. I want to ask you, do you see the name of Jesus as a perfumed name? Is Jesus, and I'm talking to believers, and so often He's the one that saves us, heals us, helps us get more money and more friends, and makes our ministry a little more lively. Beloved, He does. He heals us. And He forgives us. And He helps us with money and friends. He really does those things. And He makes our ministry a little more lively when he blesses it with His favor. But He's more than that. The encounters with this man by the Holy Spirit at the heart level, He's the only one with the perfumed name. He can take the most dull, spiritually dull person, and He can transform them into extravagant lovers of God. It's more than healing their body and forgiving them. He is, Paul the Apostle touched this, and he understood. He said, oh, the excellency of the knowledge of God. He said, the excellencies of Christ Jesus. When we understand that His name has this kind of power, I don't mean just to drive a devil out. In the name of Jesus, devils will flee. Yes, that's true. I'm talking about by the name of Jesus unveiled to the human heart, when God pours forth His name to our heart, the name of Jesus drives out spiritual boredom in the human heart. It doesn't just drive sickness away. The name of Jesus doesn't just drive demons away. The name of Jesus, as God unfolds it or pours it out in the human spirit, causes us to love Him at the heart level. It drives boredom, spiritual boredom, out of our life. When God reveals God to the human spirit, it absolutely exhilarates us. It really does. Our zeal for Jesus is strengthened by the knowledge of His inner life, His thought life, His emotional makeup. Paul said this, I count everything loss for this one reason, because of the excellency or the perfume of the knowledge of God, if I was using the language of the Song of Solomon. Beloved, this man who is fully man, fully God, he has a name that is so exhilarating to the human spirit, but only when it's unpacked, only when it's unveiled to us, and He unveils it to us by our feeding our spirit on the Word. You would think that this would be the most sought after thing in the kingdom of God, is eagerly, aggressively feeding our spirits on the excellency of this name, or the name being the quality of His personhood. And yet, I have to say, and I it's going to turn around though, so I'm encouraged. In the kingdom of God, the most neglected subject in the kingdom of God is God. It's not just how to get things, or how to make ministry work, or how to get a healing, or how to make money work, or how to grow our ministry, or how to have good relationships. All of those are biblical, absolutely essential subjects. But the most neglected subject in the kingdom of God is the subject of God. And He is the one who's the fragrance of His good perfumes will excite our heart and exhilarate our spirits. Paul got a hold of it. He said, because of the excellency. He didn't say the excellency of just being forgiven, although he certainly would have said that, I'm sure. Being forgiven is massive. I mean, the forgiveness of Jesus is a massive subject. Forever, a billion years from now, we'll still be worshiping and thanking Him for it. But beloved, I'm talking about the unpacking of His heart. I'm talking about the unveiling of His inner life. Paragraph E, Jesus declares the Father's name for the purpose of awakening love in our spirit. This is my favorite verse. Not, you know, you get 100 favorite verses, but this is actually the real one. This is the real favorite of my 100 favorites. If you have to have a life verse, you don't need one, but if you want one, I recommend this. John 17, 26. Jesus said, I have declared, he's talking to the Father. He says, Father, I have declared to them your name, and I'm going to keep declaring your name to them. Now, whether it's Jesus declaring the name of the Father or the Father declaring the name of Jesus, it has the same power, the same impact. And so at this point, I'm not differentiating between the difference of impact of the Father's heart or the Son's heart because their heart is the same. But Jesus understands the power of the knowledge of God touching the human spirit. He said, I declared to them your name. And that's how he summed up this 3.5 years of ministry. He says, and I'm going to declare it. He's talking about from the resurrected place at the right hand of the Father through church history. He goes, that's the primary thing I'm going to do to the people who are understanding my heart. I'm going to tell them about your heart and about your thoughts. I'm going to tell them about your name, Father. And look what happens. And when I do that, I'm going to do it so that the love with which you loved me, it would be imparted to them. Beloved, when the knowledge of God touches our heart, when the knowledge of God's heart and God's thought life touches our spirit by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it causes an impartation of the love that the Father has for Jesus. A supernatural quality of love is imparted to our spirit. I can't think of anything more glorious than loving Jesus in the power of the Father's love for Jesus. Loving Jesus with the power of God. Can you think of anything more exhilarating in life than loving God under the power of God? I mean, our spirit is just alive with joy and fullness and excitement. And that's what Jesus is talking about. But he's using in this grand passage, John 17:26, he's using the theology of the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3. It's because of the good perfumes of God that when the name of God is unveiled, it awakens love. The virgins will love you. It awakens love in our spirit when we understand the knowledge of God. I wrote a book, Paragraph G, called Passion for Jesus, some years ago. And so therefore, because of it, I get asked just all the time, how do you grow in passion for Jesus? I thought, well, that's a good question. I like that question. But the answer is really simple and it's really straightforward. The way we grow in passion for Jesus is by growing in the revelation of Jesus' passion for us. Beloved, let there be no mistake. Let the mystery be solved. That is how it happens. You want to love God more, then study the love of God for you. And I'm not talking about just casual. I'm talking about making it the premier occupation of your life before God. I tell you, it will make you a better servant. It will make you a better evangelist, a better prophetic person. It will make you a better everything person, a better husband, better wife, better father, mother, child, brother, sister. When our hearts are touched by this power and this influence, we will be better at everything that we do. Just the amount of anxiety and fear and the weight of darkness that comes because of so much spiritual boredom in the lives of so many believers. They're so filled with spiritual boredom, it just opens up so much darkness and anxiety and fear and so much managing ego and rejection. If we could bring that down a couple notches by the knowledge of God touching our spirit, we would be better at everything. Just because mentally speaking, our hard drive clears up, or emotionally speaking, so much is cleared up, so much of the fog lifts in that revelation. Now, it's not enough. I'm going to go to page 4, just for one moment, because we're at the end of the class here. Roman numeral 5, applying these truths to our lives. It's not enough to intellectually get a hold of this concept. I'm only giving you a concept. And the concept is, because of the fragrance, the loveliness of this man's inner life, because of it, God the Father has chosen to reveal it to the nations, and God the Father has secondly chosen to transform the individuals of the earth through the encounter of the knowledge of this man's inner life. That's a grand idea, and many believers don't understand that simple point. They're looking for transformation in so many other ways without it encountering the knowledge of God. And I believe that God has other dimensions that lead to our transformation. But the missing factor is the knowledge of God Himself. And not just the introductory knowledge of being forgiven. I'm talking about the emotions of God touching our spirit creates so many dynamics in our inner man, positive ones. So we have to decide it's true that we're going to go after the knowledge of God deliberately, strategically, in a focused way, not accidentally or kind of on the run. I mean, I'm going after this thing. I want to know what He thinks and how He feels more than anything else in life. And I need to know it more, and I need to be hungry for it more. But it's not enough even to have that piece of information. Okay, I'm going for it. That's only a starting point to even get the information in our head. We need to feed our spirit on this reality. You know, some people approach the Word of God like a person going to a restaurant, and they're not going to eat. They're just going to study the menu. I know people that just read the Word of God. It's to bring us into encounter with a man's heart. I don't want to be a connoisseur of the Song of Solomon. I want to experience the fragrance, the power of His good perfumes. Because I tell you, it will make even the young ones love Him, let alone the mature ones. I'd like you just to end by having you look at that part of the notes here just on your own. It's real simple, but we need to do it. I have a passion to see people actually do this. I'm not just interested in giving a sermon. I want to see people become disciples and students of the emotions of Jesus. Amen. We'll end with that. Let's stand. Father, we come before You even now. And Lord, we ask You to pour forth by the Spirit of Revelation, we ask You to pour forth the fragrance, the uniqueness and the winsomeness and the beauty of His good perfumes upon our spirit in these next weeks and months and years as we lock in to go after this in our personal life with You. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.